Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
All right. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Awesome worship this morning. Thank you guys so much. Amen. Thank you, Lord. How many know God is good? Amen. And I tell you, God has not forgotten you. Amen. He will never forget us. Amen. And I just want to talk to you for a little bit this morning. I don't know if I get through the whole message, but we just want to obey what God has given us. Okay. And you'll get that little ring out for us. But if you will, go to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. And we're going to be talking about endurance, okay? Endurance and enduring, okay? You know, how many know we live in a time that we need to do what? Endure some things, you know? And when you look at this, you know, many a times, you know, that I feel like sometimes we just don't resist. We don't persevere, amen? We just give up, you know? But how many know we can't give up? We can't give up. We got to keep pressing in. We got to keep pressing on. You know, we will never exhaust God. Amen. So we got to keep pressing in to him, learning and growing up and maturing in the things of God. See, God didn't just save you for the sake of escaping hell. See, he saved us from hell. He saved us from sin, but that's not the only reason. See, God saved us and delivered us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son so that we would be effective here in the earth. Now, we're going to heaven, but how many know that's a byproduct? We're going to heaven, but how many know that is not just why we're saved? Okay, so sometimes, you know, we just, you know, well, I'm going to heaven and I'm fine. But see, he saved you to do what? To work here in this earth, to make a difference. See, and this is why I want to encourage you this morning. I'm not bashing you. I'm not trying to say where you're not or where you're at. But I want to encourage you to press on, to persevere. Because see, you know, without you persevering, you're not going to grow. See, and I was told that a person is insane to want something different, but he keep doing the same thing. See, and that's sometimes that's where we're at. You know, we won't change, but we don't want to do what it takes for change to come. So what we do is we'll try to stay in the norm, hoping that things will get better, but I'm going to tell you, things won't get better. Well, it's gonna clear up after a while. How many know we're in the last days, people? We're in the last days, amen? And the Bible is fulfilling itself. And guess what? We can either be on the negative side or we can be on the positive side. There is no middle ground and there is no straddling the fence. Either you're in or you're out. See, God didn't call us to a picnic. He called us to a battlefield. And sometimes we want to stay on a picnic with my little goodies, my little Debbie cakes and all this stuff. But how many know, as Lee said, we got to move to the meat. We got to get to the meat of the word, because how many know the meat is what's going to cause you to develop muscles, protein. It's going to build you up to that person, that woman, that boy, that girl, that man of God that God has called us to be. And it's not going to come without tribulation. We persevere in the tribulation. But if we don't have no tribulation, if we don't have some afflictions, I mean, you know, we're not out. We just stay the same. But how many know it's almost like that mother eagle put some thorns in it, get you on out of there. Mess with your comfort spots. Amen? So I'm going to mess with some comfort spots. Because we got to get up and get to going, amen? I'm going to know that Jesus, the Bible said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. See, God is not changed, but God is in the process of doing what? Changing us. You know, the greatest revelation that I've ever received is when God revealed to me, John, it ain't them, it's you. Wait a minute here now. You was doing good till you said that. You know, we always say, if they, if she, if he would just do better, I'd be all right. No, it ain't him, it ain't she, it ain't, say it's me, oh Lord. See, when God began to change me, it changed my perspective of other people. See, it wasn't them, it was my mindset. So when God started allowing me and teaching me that, John, you know, it ain't them, it's you. When I change you, you look at them different. See, the situation didn't change, but I change. So when I change, I quit looking at the situation the same way. So God grew me up, and he's still growing me. I hadn't reached my full stature yet, but I'm pressing in. I'm pressing in. And we got to endure. Listen at Hebrews 12. Did I tell you 12? I got a bad habit of starting sentences. I say, my wife said, John, you didn't tell us where you was at. Okay, I'm going to slow down so I can tell you. Hebrews 12, and he's talking about a race here. He said, therefore, we are also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us or entangles us. And let us run with endurance. One translator said, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become wearied and discouraged in your souls. Now, I want to share something with you here, and we're going to go back and I'm going to unpack some things here. Because what we have to understand, notice the writer of Hebrews, he begins off, he says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, do you know the stands of the witnesses that he's talking about here is in Hebrews 11. The people that have made it by faith and held on to the word of God in the face of adversity. These are the ones that he's talking about when he says we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, the word witness, what it means is martyred. Martyred. These people were killed because of their belief in Jehovah. Yahweh. The El Shaddai. The Jehovah Jireh. The Almighty God. The All-Sufficient One. They held on to God in adversity to where they gave their life. And here the church is. Oh, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. But see, come on, we got to go further than that. He said, but they love not their life unto death. See, but what we got to understand, church, we got to wake up and begin to be so passionate. I'm not talking about going out here hopping on a soapbox of protest, doing all these negative things. I'm talking about positive, truth-proclaiming believers. speaking the truth in love, speaking the truth with wisdom, speaking the truth with revelation that God has revealed, not holding back just because people say, well, that stuff is out of fashion. But how many know this book right here is more relevant than any book that you can buy on a store shelf? It'll tell you about the facts of life. Oh, Jesus. But listen to what he's saying. But so we got to do what? As we run a race, you know, and I was looking at this because I was, you know my life story. I was raised in sports most of my life, and I know a little bit about most sports. You know, and believe it or not, I used to run cross country. I know some of y'all saying, man, what is that? That's way back yonder. It's where you have to run 3 miles against another school. So you have a team, and there's about five of you, you know, and your five line up against other fives, and we see who can run the 3 miles in a less the less time that you can do it. And, you know, what I would do in my preparing for the race, y'all probably don't know this either, but I would put ankle weights on. And Brother Jerry's in here. He know about that. Brother Mike probably do too. Some of y'all know about it. But ankle weights, what you would do is you put them on your legs and you kind of run. Okay? Because they've got you weighted down. And what you're doing is you're preparing your legs and building them up for the endurance of the 3 mile of the cross country run. So the day before, listen, the day before the race, you take them off. And you walking around light as a feather, ready to get ready for that race. You know, and then the next day, your legs have adjusted. Now you can run without feeling off balance. So what he's saying here, we need to lay aside every weight. The weight might not be a sin. It might be something that God is saying, I want that. Because if you give that to God, it will make your race a little bit lighter. So that's what we're doing here is that we're lightening the load for the long haul. Now, if you ever run the 100-yard dash, guess what? You train different for that. See, you don't train for endurance with the 100-yard dash. You train for speed because, you know, you're going to burn up in a hurry. A 100-yard dash, you put it all out there and you go for it. But see, when you're running the Olympics, when you're running 3 miles, you got to have some strategy. You got to lighten the load. So the writer is telling us, John, this is a marathon. See, I know you want to get it in a hurry, but it's a process to this race. You know, God ain't going to just slap it all on you at one time, but it is a process in this race. And so many a times, if we're not careful, we get so excited to where, God, I just want it now, Lord. Come on, Jesus, fill me with it, Lord. Come on, God, give me revelation. Come on, God, give me wisdom. No, God has said, no, it don't work that way. Hold on. You got to go through the process. See, God just don't slap revelation on you because you say, I want it. You got to get in the book and study. You got to get some commentaries. You got to get some dictionaries. You got to get some Greek words and begin to study them out and rightly divide the word of truth. Amen? Why? Because then you'll be building up what? That spiritual vocabulary that's on there. You're building up yourself in the word of God. Why? Because the enemy is coming. And I want to be ready with my ammunition of the word of God. So when he comes, I'll be just like my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is written. It is written. So the writer here is telling us that we can look back and gaze at these great cloud of witnesses, the people that have went on before us. And the one that I looked at here, you know, that we quote the most is where Enoch that walked with God. But before Enoch was translated with God, he had a testimony that he pleased God. See, but it's impossible to please God without faith. But he that come to God must believe, and must believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, do I quit seeking God just because I'm going through a test? No. I dig in deeper. Why? Because the word of God will sustain me with the Spirit of God working on the inside of me when I face hardships. Okay? So the writer is saying we got to lay aside every weight. Every weight. And not only the weight, but the sin. You know, sometimes, you know, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but sometimes I believe we magnify the mistake more than we do faith to hold on. Let me tell you what I mean by that. Well, you know, I did the same thing. You know, somebody come to you and they say, you know, I just missed it. I missed it big time. Yeah, I missed it too. You know, why don't you encourage them and say, hey, you know, come on, you gotta start hitting the mark here. Because what sin means is missing the mark. You are missing the mark. Why do I want to encourage you to keep missing the mark? Where's the one that's going to say, okay, John, what's the problem here? Why you keep missing it? What's going on with you? Well, you know, I just don't understand. I do my best. No, it ain't about you doing your best, son. Let's go to the Word of God. It's about trusting Him. It's about learning how to live out what the Word of God is saying. I need to understand my identity in Christ. I don't need somebody to come and tell me, well, it's going to be all right. No, I need to know how it's going to be all right. So what he's saying here, I need to lay aside missing the mark. I need to lay aside the sin, because sin does what? It snares us. It entangles us. I can't understand a believer. I really can't. And I'm not saying that I'm perfect. I'm not saying that you're perfect. But I can't understand a believer that says sin doesn't bother them. I have a problem with that. Well, I sin, it don't bother me. You know, God got my, I got grace, man. I got grace. But come on, grace is not a license to sin. Paul said, how should we continue in sin while grace abide? Do you not know sin has a payoff? Let me tell you what it is. Death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. See, but we're living in a time that people think, well, all you got to do is be good. How many know it's more than being good? You got to be born again. And I'm not saying because you're born again, you're never going to miss it. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying, well, you're born again, you everything. No, you got to grow. You got to mature. You got to go through the process. You got to overcome some things. You got to endure some things. Say, God didn't save you for you to go back into sin. He saved you to begin to conform you into the likeness of Christ, to grow you up to where you are no longer controlled by sin and this world, but you are controlled by the Holy Spirit that saved you and raised you, that resurrected life that's on the inside of you. God has empowered you. He's enabled you to live a victorious life in the midst of this world. And this is what the writer is trying to get our attention. Look at the ones that have went on. They held on to faith. They held on to God. They didn't give up in the face of temptation. They didn't give up and go back when they was telling them, we're going to take your life. The three Hebrew boys did not give up when they said, if you don't bow, you're going to burn. That's all right. Our God is able. And he's the same today as he was then. If he kept Meshach and Abednego, guess what? He can keep John. He can empower me. He's with me. He's for me. He's not against me. But what we have to understand, we will face opposition. But we must endure these things that are coming. and the things that are happening. We can't, well, you know, let me move on, okay? He said the sin so easily ensnares us. Do you not know the devil can't make you sin? Well, you know, Flip Wilson came out with that years ago. That lie don't fly no more. It's a lie from the pits of hell. Well, the devil made me do it and dress like Joe. Come over here. Ah, John, back up, son. But how many know the devil can't make you do anything? See, but he wants you to buy that lie. See, but as Pastor shared up last Sunday, you've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear son. The devil has no more authority over your life if you're a born-again believer. He don't have no control over your life if you're a born-again believer. The only control that he has is what you allow him to have. But if you stand up and begin to speak the word of God, he got to back up off of you. Why? Because you don't belong to him. You are God's property. And when somebody trespass, guess what? You pay the price. Get hold. Okay? But let's look at this. The word endure means to persevere. And this is what he's saying. That we got to lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Come on, we got to quit missing the mark. We got to hit the bullseye. And let us run with endurance. Let us get off these weights that's hindering us. You know, sometimes it's relationships that we might have to end. And I'm not telling you who to quit being with or whatever, but if they're not productive, if they're not, if they don't have your good intentions in mind of pushing you forward in the things of God, you need to watch. You got to understand something, that we can't associate, well, you know, we got to be with everybody. How many know that if they're tearing you down, telling you you're no good, you're fit for nothing, you'll never make it? How many know you need to shut that relationship down? Well, you know, I got the grin and bear. No, that ain't scripture. He ain't told you one time to grin and bear it. He just said, do what? Set it aside. You got to understand. A lot of times we are a result for what words have been spoken over us. And I refuse to let anybody sow words into my life that's not going to help me or better me as being a man of God. You say, well, that's just being right mean. No, it's not. That's being wise. But we have to persevere. Let's look at Romans 5 for a second. And the word persevere, what it means is to continue in the course of action, even in the face of adversity. To continue in a course of action in the face of adversity. How many know we face a lot of adversity in this day and time? Don't look back at 2020. My Jesus, did we face some adversities. But we're in 2021. But I want to share something with you that Jesus said. He said, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. Now, I'm a Bible believer. I want to be a Bible fanatic. Now, if I don't face no tribulation, guess what? Jesus just lied. And guess what? Jesus is not a liar. Because how many know? We face tribulation. And the word tribulation, what it means, afflictions, difficult times, hard times, distressed times. But guess what? Jesus said we're in the world, but we're not of the world, okay? So anything that I face in this world, the overcomer is already in me to overcome. See, he just didn't say in the world you will have tribulation, but he said in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Start pitching your party, for I have overcome the world. And guess what? The Bible said, whatsoever is born of God overcomes this world. Amen? So, Romans, you had Romans 5? Let's look at verse 3. And not only that, but we glory also in what? But we glory in tribulation. Knowing that tribulation produces what? Perseverance. And perseverance, character. Man, Lee hit that this morning, and I mean that just something like I was like that. Have you ever, you remember the story about John the Baptist and Jesus, and when they said something, the baby leaped in the womb? Man, he said that this morning, and something leaped in my womb. You know why? In my spirit, man, just leaped. You know why? Because what God is doing is developing character. He's developing character when we persevere. See, don't go praying for patience, because you're going to get some tribulation. Okay? Just wait your turn. It's coming. Okay? All right. So look at this. He's saying, look, and not we glory in, other words, we rejoice in tribulation, knowing, see, that knowing is an experience of knowing what tribulation is going to produce in me, which is perseverance. And when perseverance, it does what? Character. And character, hope. See, what God is doing, he's clinging the inside and he's putting himself in, that he's building character. When I face hardships and I go through it the right way, what God is doing is building character in me, that when the next time something come up, the character that God has been, that's built in me, that I can stand strong knowing that God is going to see me through. See, one writer said, if we'll take care of our character, God will take care of our reputation. Because, see, sometimes your gift can take you places, but it won't keep you. But when you have character, your gift can take you places, and your character will keep you. This is a problem with a lot of times in leadership. They be doing things because they didn't allow God to develop their character. Preach just, I mean, and flowing into gifts, but then when it comes down to character and integrity, we see a different side. And God don't want us to be two-faced. He wants us to be single-eyed people that we, what we say, we live it out. When the word say love, we love. When the word say, whatever the word is teaching us, we live it out. That's why Jesus said, you are the light of the world, amen, and you are the salt of the earth. Why? Because we cause people to become thirsty for God when we live out the kingdom principles. They become thirsty for God. They begin to say, how did you do that? And you say, what? Man, I know they was lying on you on that job. I know they was talking. You didn't know they was talking behind your back. And you over there giving them cookies and bringing stuff and laughing. And what's, man, how you do that? Don't you know they dog you, man? That's okay. You know why? Because God is working on me. See, when God has did something on the inside of you, the devil himself, no, he can't shake you. That's why he try to make us think that God is holding out, and God is not holding out. God is saying, I'm giving you space to grow up so I can give you this. See, God is not a waster. Amen? So he's not going to waste giving you things when he knows you're not ready for it. He's waiting on us to grow up so that I can reveal this, what's on the inside of you. Okay? Let's move a little further here, okay? So, perseverance, character, and character, hope. See, we got to see what God is doing. How many know we just might well confess what we're doing? God already knows. God already know. And when we confess, say, Lord, I need your help. I cannot do this myself. That's all he wanted to know. It's for you to know that you can't do it yourself. So when we line up, when we come in alignment with him, guess what happens? There's a release from heaven here in the earth. That heaven came and invaded earth. Now when I begin to walk out what heaven has invaded me in, guess what? The world began to see what? The attraction of God's glory. The attraction. See, it's not me bringing attraction to myself, you know, because I don't look that good. I can't say, hey, you know, you're looking at it. This is it. Oh, yeah. No, I can't say that. Now, Miss Faye might can say that, but guess what? Somebody else might look at him and like, nah, not him. See, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And she beholds me, and I behold her. Amen? But listen to this. It is funny, but listen to this. But then, guess what? The world will see. When God works his character in us, when the world sees, it ain't an individual eye, but it's the world that sees. It's something about that Scott Howe. Something about that Naomi. Hey, let me lay some money out here. Lay about a $50 bill right here on Scott. So, on Scott. Scott come along. He said, hey, somebody lost $50. Thought we was going to get it. I tell you what, let's get some on his God. So let's go talk to the king. And king, we want you to make a decree that if anybody pray to any other God, let him be thrown in the lion's den. And the king, because he's the king, he can decree. He can sign the petition. And it has to be carried out, and it can't be revoked. He had to carry it out. So these guys saw Daniel, and they know Daniel. God was promoting Daniel, and God was bringing Daniel through the ranks, and God was giving Daniel favor, and God was blessing Daniel. And the king knew that Daniel served a true and living God, but the king didn't know he had some little old schemes, some little old conniving folks in his kingdom. So what they did, they said, now we know we can't get Daniel no kind of way. We can't trick him up. We can't get him to do anything wrong. But let's get something on his God. So they said, let's get a petition. And let's let the king sign it. That if anybody pray to any other God, he is to be thrown in the lion's den. Now watch this. Because see, this is God has already built what? Integrity and character in Daniel, Shadrach, and Meshach, and Abednego. All three of them, God had did a work in them. They changed their names, but guess what? God already had named them, and they was already brand, so they was trying to brainwash them. But look what happened here, okay? The petition was signed. Daniel knew it was signed. So Daniel goes to his cabin, his little cottage, and he looks towards the east because he knew that when the Hebrews looked towards the east and cried out to God, God was going to hear him. Now, I believe, now the scripture don't say this, but I'm kind of exegeting, and I'm looking into it a little bit deeper here. I believe what Daniel went and prayed, he said, now God, you know these men have had this petition signed against me. But because I love you, God, because I love you, Yahweh, I'm going to get on my face and I'm going to cry out to you. Knowing the petition was signed, he persevered. He held on to his God. The time came. Oh, king, we saw one praying to the God that's not the God of Babylon. Oh, Daniel, and the king was smitten in his heart because the king loved Daniel. And he knew Daniel was a man of God. And he said, oh, Daniel, I know the God you serve. He's with you. And the Bible says the king did not rest that night because he knew what had happened. But he rushed to the hole and he looked down, and there was Daniel resting on the lion's bridge, just taking a nap. Oh, hallelujah, glory to God. Another day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And the king said, oh, Daniel, live forever. Your God is the living God. Your God will deliver. Your God will protect. And they brought Daniel out. And guess what happened? The pit they dug for Daniel, they went in. What is the moral of this story? It's this. When we persevere, God will vindicate us. God has your back. And you got to understand, we say trust him. How many know it ain't easy to trust? But you got to make your mind up. I'm going to trust God in this. Amen? And watch what happened. Don't go leaning back to your own understanding. Don't try to go and conjure up, well, he's going to work this way. Just trust what he said. Just trust his word. Just stand on the word that what God has said and what God has promised. Why? Because God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Diligently seek him. Watch this. The word endurance, the ability to withstand hardships or adversity, especially the ability to sustain a prolonged stress effect of activity. As a jogger running, there's what you call a second wind. You know, you've run, and it's almost like, I just got to quit. I just got to quit. But there's something on the inside telling you, John, look at the goal. Look at the goal line, John. Stay focused here, John. Come on, don't kick yet, but just keep on going. Just keep that pace. And after a while, you know, when you've been practicing, then something kicks in. And you begin to feel like something on the inside had bursted open. And you begin to sense a new energy, which is called the second wind. And guess what? There is a wind on the inside of the church that's called the Holy Spirit. That if we'll just keep on moving, if we'll just keep on believing, if we'll just keep on trusting, if we'll just keep on persevering, the wind will begin to mount up in us. Amen. And we'll get a second wind. And we'll begin to say, hey, this ain't as bad as I thought it was. Praise God, I'm getting up in the morning, I'm reading the word, I'm reading my devotions, I'm praying, I'm rejoicing in the Lord, and I can hear the devil say, what's wrong with this guy? I thought I had him. You thought you had me, but I got away, and that way is Yahweh. I followed him. And he's leading me in the path of life. You got to understand something. We're going to go through things, but guess what? We're going to go through it victorious. We're more than conquerors. Amen. Hallelujah. And God is with us. He's for us. We got to get that second wind going now. Why? Because 2021, we're entering into some other things. I'm telling you, you got to understand, the devil has released some things, but guess what? God is releasing some things to his church if we would take hold of it and take heed of what's being said. Amen. Why? Because God is a just God. He's not going to allow the enemy to release demonic forces in this earth without preparing his church. But how many know we got to be willing to discipline and prepare ourselves what God is saying and what God is doing? We have to take the initiative. Okay, I had to quit here. Might be a part two, y'all. But listen, we got to, I'm going to give you this last, go to 2 Timothy 2. See, endurance means the ability to withstand hardships. How many are going through a hard time right now? You say, I'm just facing a hard time right now. Let me tell you something. What you do, get your promise of God and begin to go to war with that promise. When the devil say, this is going to happen to you, let him know what God promised you. Let him know that you're a liar, devil. God did not say that to me. You'll get through this hard time. How many of you done went through some hard times and you thought when you was going through it, it was the end of your life? You probably said, my God, how much more can I? Oh, Lord Jesus. Whoo! Glory to God. Lord, just take me on to glory. Whoo! I got to get out of this. Man, I look back over some stuff I went through. I mean, I thought one time, man, I'm just at the bottom of this thing. But I stayed faithful to God. And I look back and I say, God, thank you for every one of those hardships, because it made me who I am today. Amen. I don't boast in John, but I boast in the God that I serve. He's great. He's wonderful. Amen. He's seen me through the dark nights and the times that no one's seen me crying out to God because I didn't think I was good enough. And God kept working on my heart till he built my self-esteem. And now people look at me and they say, man, I never thought you would be the way you are now. I never thought you would talk as much as you talk now. But guess what? It's not John, but it's God on the inside of me that has made me who I am. And it's a glorious thing. But at the time, Sister Henry Ann, I thought, my God, this can't be God. This can't be him. It can't be him. This is too hard. Until I read one day, Brother William, and it said, the way of a transgressor is hard, but God delights in his righteousness. The righteous will be delivered. Then I went over in Psalms and I heard David say, many are the afflictions of the righteous, many are the affliction of the, he didn't say many are the affliction of the sinner. It caught my attention. I am the righteousness of God. And David said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord, hallelujah, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Oh, glory to God. He delivered me out of them all. And guess what? He's going to keep on delivering me. He's going to keep on delivering me. He's going to keep on delivering me. Why? Because there's stuff in John that has to be, he had to be delivered out of this stuff. And God is transforming me. He's conforming me. But guess what? It don't take away the hard stuff. What it does is this. God graced me for the hard stuff. God will grace you for the hard stuff. Grace means the ability to do what I can't do on my own. Okay. Did I tell you to go to Timothy? Okay. 2 Timothy 2. And let's check this out. Man, the word of God is so good. Man, the hardships. We're talking about enduring, right? Instant enduring suffering, enduring many hardships. Now listen to what Paul tells Timothy. He says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these things to faithful men. Not just anybody, Timothy. Commit them to faithful men and women who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must what? Talk to me. What's your Bible say? Verse 3, what's your Bible say? You must what? Suffer hardships. Mine says you must endure hardships. You know why we suffer? I'm going to give you a little nut, just a little glimpse of what I see about suffering. You know why we suffer? Because we have ceased from sinning. Well, how does that work, Pastor? See, when you are not out sinning, watch this. When you're not sinning, guess what the flesh want to do? Sin. And when you shut him down from sinning, guess what? You suffer. Because you're not having those things that has been forbidding. See, and he'll try to raise his head all the time. But you have to remind him, you dead. You dead. You dead. It's no longer I, but it's Christ who lives in me. You dead. Why? Reckon yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto what? Righteousness. I'm alive by the power of God. That resurrection power is working in this hour, and it's moving all over me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So listen what Paul told Timothy. He said, therefore, you must endure hardness as a what? Good soldier. How many know we're in a war? And if you don't want your war clothes, go to Ephesians 6 and 10. Put on your war clothes. Because he said, so that you can overcome, you can resist, so that you can stand. Amen? We're trying to resist in the strength of flesh. It won't work. You'll give in every time. But it's the power of God that's working and enabling me to live out this victorious life. Okay? Let me read this and we'll close. Therefore, we must endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engages in warfare, entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlists him as a soldier. Now, who are you trying to please? Somebody says self. That's one of them. What about man? You know, I gotta critique this thing. Just I gotta be politically correct here. You know, because if I don't, they ain't going to receive me. But guess what? All my spit and all my cross D's and these I's and all that, long as the Holy Ghost is up on what I say, that's what matters. I'm reminded of Smith Wigglesworth. He was writing a letter, and he spelled Holy Spirit two different ways. And the young man that was so intelligent said, now, we know you're a man of God, Smith. But I recognize in your writings that you spelled the Holy Spirit two different ways. And Smith said, well, let me ask you a question. He said, yes, sir. Did you understand what I said? He said, oh, yeah, we understood what you said, Smith. He said, well, that's all that matters. That's it. That's all that matters. It ain't about doctor this, doctor that. Amen. We need the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen. And we need him speaking. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is the only thing that can bring life out of death. My doctorates, my degrees and all that, guess what? I'm like Paul. It's rubbish. But I want to know him. I want to behold him. I want to lay hold of him who has laid hold of me. In other words, that same God that pursued me, now I want him to even, I'm pursuing him now to even get more of John. Amen? So Paul has told Timothy, don't listen. Be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. These things of this world, we have to understand that Jesus said, listen, he said that we have to be careful about these things. The deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things that will enter in and it will choke the word of God out of us. We got to be aware. I'm not saying the devil's behind every post. I'm not trying to tell you to go looking, well, what do I do this? No, huh? Live life, but live it God's way. Live it God's way. Follow God's principles. Do what God tells us to do. Amen? And so Paul finishes up, and then we'll stop, okay? And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to what? The rules. And I'll stop right there, okay? The rules. What are the rules here? The rules, let me tell you what the rules are. The rules are the kingdom principles. It's God's way of doing things. That's why Jesus said, Matthew 6:33, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. and all these things will be added to you. You know what we have done? We've sought the things. We've sought the things. Is it wrong to have things? No, but that's not the order God told us to do it. He said, seek ye first. You want to know what first means in Greek? First. Thank you. It don't take a great interpretation. First. Prioritize. First. Seek God's kingdom. What is the kingdom? It's God's way of doing things. It's God's rule in the earth. It's God's government. Is God governing us on the inside? Why? Because the kingdom is on the inside of us, but it's inside of us to govern us God's way, God's rules. The kingdom is God's rule. It's God's way of doing things. And his righteousness, being right standing with God, being in right alignment with God. And when we are in a right alignment with God, guess what? Heaven backs us. Brother Jeff, I don't know where he at, but he had a word last Sunday about reset. There he is. Reset. Realignment. And I believe that's what God is telling the church. It's time to realign. Get on that plumb line and let me begin to develop. Realignment. In other words, it's not my way, but it's God's way. You see this? It's God's way. It's not my way, but it's God's way. All I am is just a messenger. But I have to come under the same obedience that I'm preaching and teaching. The same word has to be working in my life. You know why? Because it is wrong for me to tell you to do something when I don't do it. That's being a dictator. But I'm not a dictator. I am the Son of God, of the Most High God. And the call that God has placed is to begin to develop the church with the ministry that he has placed in the hand of his men and women. See, it's not how glorious, how big we can grow the church, but it's how many lives we can affect for the kingdom. How many lives are being transformed? How many lives are being able to love people in spite of being mistreated? We got to endure some things, church. It ain't going to always be easy. It ain't going to always feel good. It ain't always going to look good. It ain't always going to smell good. But you got to do what? Persevere. You got to push in. You got to press in. I'm telling you, I want to encourage you to persevere. You say, but I just can't overcome this thing. It's been plaguing me. Let me tell you something. If something has been plaguing you for a long time, there are some generational things going on. There are either some vows or some bitter roots or some judgments that you've made that you need to be aware of and get delivered from so that you can begin to serve God freely. But you can't blame it on that all the time. Sometimes we just want to be stubborn, and we just want to say, I'm keeping this one. No, I ain't giving this one up. No, just as the way my daddy was and just the way I'm going to be. No, you and daddy going to mess around and go to hell if you ain't careful. Oh, excuse my language. Yes, sir.
Any Green Bay Packers fans out here? Dan. He's Green Bay. Vince Lombardi Award. What's that for, Dan?
Super Bowl.
And because of, I mean, this goes way back when the Packers and the Dallas Cowboys were the powerhouse teams. And you had Bart Starr, some of those stars, I mean, no pun intended, but I mean, he was Mr. Football. And they lost a game they should not have lost. And Vince Lombardi was mad. Have you ever been mad at yourself when you've lost, when you knew what God was telling you to do and you're just disappointed, you're upset with yourself?
Sure.
Right. He brought them all in. Now, these are all professional ball players. They had won. Super Bowl. This was the team. He held a football up in front of Bart Starr and all these great, you know, Green Bay ball players. And he said, "Gentlemen, we're going to get back to the basics. This is a football." Now, think about this. And somebody said something very profound. They said one time, they said, when the cares of this life begin to mire kingdom principles, the church needs to rediscover simplicity. Think about that. God's just saying, let's get back to the simple roots. And that's what John's been saying. Seek first God. First means first. Right, Eric? Right. So we're going to seek first the kingdom of God this year, 2021, and we're going to make some changes in our lives. And we're going to go back, and we're going to go back and say, this is the Word of God. This is the Bible. This is a prayer meeting, okay? This is a healing room. And we're going to see God move. Does that make sense? Keep it simple, folks. Keep it simple, Sam, is a good word. Seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and all these things, not half of these things, all these things shall be added unto you.
Okay. Thank you. Amen. Good. How many know that's just that's confirming? Okay, it's just confirming. Okay, so don't take it and just start trying to say, oh, what's going on? Wait a minute. Hold on. No, it's okay. It's okay. It's confirming. Okay? Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be what? Established. You heard it from me, you heard it from Brother Jeff. Now, guess what? It can be established. Okay? Y'all okay? No. It's okay. Good. Thank you, brother. You know, because, you know, a lot of times it's, and let me just explain something to you right quick. We got to get out of the, well, you know, that's not the case every time that happens. It can't be, well, I got to get up and say, no, you got to understand something here. The Holy Spirit agrees. Okay? It don't bring division. Okay, everybody can't get up and do that, okay, all right? Now, you want to be led by the Spirit of God, because when you're led by the Spirit of God, it confirms, it builds together. It don't bring division. That was not division, okay? That was togetherness. All he did is confirm what was being said, okay? And that's where body ministry is important, okay? So, don't go away thinking, well, Jeff interrupted, Pastor. No, it's okay. Okay, it's okay. You know, what he said confirmed what I was saying. Seek ye first. Get back to the basics. Loving God, seeking God, his kingdom, and all these other things. We reverse. We don't seek things. We seek his kingdom. Okay? Good? Okay. Okay.
Now he may not do it there, but I don't know. But he gave me that, and to me, I look at it as a burden.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, because if God begins to stir in my heart, and the pastor, the set man in the church, has told me to share something, and I go home, I feel miserable.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? When you've got something and you need to share it, and you don't do it, I feel like I haven't done what I'm supposed to do.
Okay.
The pastor, the set man, has told me.
Yeah. We just want everything to be done decent and in order so people don't go away confused, okay? So we thank God, amen, for what he's doing.
I need to ask the congregation for a prayer for a friend of mine.
Okay, that can be handled later, okay? We'll deal with that later, okay? You know, because we have to understand something. The Spirit of God is not ignorant, okay? And I'm not saying nobody here is ignorant, but we got to understand something. We don't jump up out of impulse. We just don't jump up and do something, okay? You know, we have to understand spirit leading, okay? You know, and Brother Chris is asking for prayer. We want to pray for his friend, you know, and that's what he requests for us to pray for his friend, okay? Now, do you have a name for your friend?
His name is Paul.
Okay, that's all we need to know is Paul, okay? Yeah.
So
okay.
That's why I'm asking the congregation for.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there a condition we need to address?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
But he is in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
In cold weather.
Okay. Okay, that's all we need to know, brother. We got you. We covered. Let's pray for Paul. Father, we pray for Paul right now in the name of Jesus. God, even though he's in Pennsylvania, God, you can reach there and do what you need to do. God, we pray that you put people around Paul that will minister to Paul. God, if he needs a place of shelter, we pray that you begin to open up the avenues for that. And God, if there's something that he needs specifically, God, we pray, Father, that you will put people around Paul, that you will put people in his path, that he will seek out help, Lord, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you for it, okay? Amen. So we thank you for coming today. Thank you for watching online. I know I went a little bit over, but that's okay. We'll finish it up another time. So, Father, we thank you today, Lord, for what you've done. We sealed this word, Father. And, God, we pray, God, that you would put an endurance in us, a perseverance in us, Lord. And, God, we thank you for every word that has been shared. We thank you for the songs. We thank you, Lord God, for touching and just giving Pastor Terry and Miss Brenda strength. And, God, we pray that you would grace them, Lord, for the transition of his mom. And, Lord, we just thank you for the family being here today. We bless them, and we bless them that are watching by live screening. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a blessed week.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.